Heavenly Father, this is why we come. This is why we are here this afternoon, because we love Jesus and the book that testifies of him. And so, Lord, we have not come to hear a man. You know, Lord, that I'm nothing, and that I have no wisdom above any other man that is on this earth, but that there is a God in heaven that reveals his secrets. And Lord, we pray that this afternoon you would open thou our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things from your word. We pray, Lord, that that which we see not, that you would teach us. And Father, we need a message that will never leave us the same. And truly, we can say, because of this time together, we are more prepared to meet our Savior when he comes. Is our prayer in Christ's name. Let all of God's people say,
amen.
Amen. So this afternoon, we're going to be looking at the message that was humanly intentioned for this morning. And that message is entitled, Let's Be Real. Let's Be Real. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, the sixth chapter. The sixth chapter. As God grants me the opportunity to gallivant across the face of the earth, preaching his word, calling hearts to make decisions for Christ, and being able to encourage souls that are downtrodden by Satan and caught in the bondage of sin. There's one thing that I found amongst not just religious communities, but even in the secular world, that there is something that everyone hates. And that one thing that everyone hates is hypocrisy. I don't think you can insult a person deeper than calling them a hypocrite. And when a person calls you a hypocrite, it's the very, like, it's an attack on the very essence of who you are. That you, in your deep down, you're not who you're presenting yourself to be. You're an actor. You're a pretender. This is not the real you. So every accomplishment, every accolade, every compliment, it's not real. And so we live in a world where people want to just be real. They say, no, let's be real. And whenever that phrase comes up in conversation, that's when we're about to speak what's really in our minds. We'll start talking, you know, say, Sebastian, what did you think about the food at potluck? Oh, yeah, you know, God provides, you know, it's always good to be fed, and the Lord provides all things that pertain to life and to godliness. Blessed be his name. And you come to a place where a person keeps pressing the issue. Yeah, did you like the potatoes? Did you like this? Did you like the bread? You know, I made that pie that I brought to potluck. And there comes a point in time where you have to say, hey, let's be real. There comes a time when we get to a point in a conversation where we recognize that a person is not understanding us. Perhaps I'm coming to you about a fault. I'm approaching you about something you did to me or something that I did to you. And the person says, why would you say that? Or why would you tell this person this? You know, I didn't want them to know. And at that point in time, in order to relieve the tension, the thing that has to happen, there must be a shift in our minds where we say, look, let's be real. You just like her. That's why you're behaving that way. You're just jealous. That's why you're acting that way. Let's be real. Let's put all cards on the table so that if there's brokenness that needs to be healed, let it be healed. And in this sense, I find that there's nothing amongst ministry to young people that young people see right through hypocrisy. They see right through the facade. And I don't know how many young people I can think of who grew up in the church who are no longer in the church because of this thing. Mom can say whatever she has, weeping at the altar every Sabbath. But when she comes home, it's a different story. The elder can say whatever he wants up front, and the pastor can preach a Paul for someone, but it's a different thing at home. That's why pastors' kids struggle. Because they need a pastor who's not just a pastor at church, who's also a pastor at home. The pastor who's so quick to stop for the church member's ears, but he's too busy to hear the cries of his children. Let's be real. Let's be real. So in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus begins to attack in his Sermon on the Mount, which I found interesting. The fact that Jesus felt that it was important in a public sermon to talk about hypocrisy, I must believe it must have been a very pervasive problem. Are you following what I'm saying? You see, Jesus never gets up in a public sermon and says, I'm the Messiah. He never gets up and just gives them and says, hey, you know what? Outside of Luke chapter 4, when he announces this thing in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Outside of this, we find Jesus telling individuals. But when it comes to his public discourses, he hits hypocrisy in his first sermon. So therefore, I can only conclude that there in the multitude that we find in Matthew chapter 5, it says there was a multitude there, and Jesus went up in the mountain to preach. This must have been a pervasive problem in amongst believers. Hypocrisy, coming from the Greek word hypokrites, you're just an actor, you play to the crowd. Depends on the audience kind of lifestyle. So when I'm around Adventists, I'm vegetarian, but when I go out with my college friends, I can eat some fish now and again. Let's be real. When I come to Avon Hope potluck, oh yeah, I'm fine. You know, we can eat the vegetarian stuff and whatever. But then when I leave campus and I go somewhere else, then I'm going to eat this stuff. Let's be real. Why pretending? Why acting? Why playing to the crowd? Before I get ahead of myself, Matthew 6, verse 1. Jesus says, take heed. Be warned. Pay very close attention. Listen to what I'm saying, that you do not your alms, that is your gifts of charity and of kindness, before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be how? In secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So follow this. The Bible says this. Jesus says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. So many people take this verse and say, well, I don't want people to know that I'm helping sister such and such out with her tuition. So I'm going to go ahead and write a check to Season and ask Season to write a check to this person so she thinks that Season is the one who actually paid for her tuition when it was actually me. That's what people get from the text. That's not what Jesus is saying. He says, don't do it before men to be seen. So he gives an example, and apparently in verse 2, there were some hypocrites who would sound a trumpet before they did a kind deed. Now, I'm trying to picture this in my mind. I'm in a very imaginative person. So I'm thinking to myself, you're walking down the streets of Loma Linda, and I haven't seen any homeless people, but where I grew up in Chicago and in Boston, there's a lot of homeless people. So you're walking down the streets, and Massachusetts Ave is a big street. Harvard, MIT is on this street. So you're walking down Mass Ave, you see this guy who's sitting there, and they usually sit in front of the CVS or by the train station, by the subway stations, you know, with the cup or whatever, and you come out the station, and guy says, hey, you got a couple dollars? Oh, yeah, hold on. Let me pull out my trumpet that I carry with me everywhere I go. Everyone looks, here's your $5. And he gives them the money. But he says that this wasn't just happening in the streets, it was also happening in the synagogue. So it was to make sure, I want you to see how kind I am to be seen of men. And he says, you have no reward of your Father. So there's a reward for doing kind deeds, with the motivation of self-glory and to receive the glory of men. So perhaps you can illustrate with me. We have Christian A, who is a hypocrite, and Christian B, who is not a hypocrite. And Christian A likes to, in the synagogues and in the streets, make sure that he's seen doing his gifts of charity. But Jesus says in verse 3, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee how? Openly. Do you see a contrast there? Your Father sees in secret, but you get rewarded openly, yes? But if you do things to be seen openly, you get nothing. What do you think? Nothing, right? No glory, no reward from God. Now I want you to follow this. Jesus says, if you're struggling with hypocrisy, If you are dealing with the fact that you want to do alms to be seen of men, the answer is not stop doing alms. Did you follow what I just said? The answer is not stop doing alms. The answer is do it in such a way to be seen by God. That I'm doing it for different eyes. Every good deed should be done for somebody's eyes. The question is, whose eyes are you doing it for? So follow the situation. You talk to young people, you talk to college students, and they're like, nah, I'm just trying to be real. I'm not interested in spiritual things. I don't want to go to church. I'm not interested in outreach. I'm just trying to be real. And we think that that's what it means because they're saying, I don't want to go to church, knowing that in my life, I'm still engaging in certain sinful things. Knowing that deep down when I go back home, I'm tired of faking it. I'm tired of pretending. I'm tired of acting. Like I'm so gung-ho about finishing the gospel in this generation. I'm tired of doing that, so I just stopped preaching. That's not what Jesus' recommendation is. To the Christian this afternoon who knows in their heart of hearts that when you go home, you got stuff going on in your life that's of the devil. For that Christian, God says the answer is don't stop taking positions in the church. Don't stop getting involved with Sabbath school. Don't stop showing up at outreach because you got things going on in your life. He says, guess what? Keep doing the alms. Just go deal what's happening in secret. See, the problem of hypocrisy is not an issue of the outward. It's an issue of the inward. A hypocrite is not a person who comes out front and yet has things bad in their life. It's a person who comes out front and has things bad in their life with no desire to change what's going on at home. So then when I talk to young people, they're like, yo, Brother Sebastian, I'm just trying to be real. I'm not trying to be up there faking it like these people who stand for every single appeal that a preacher makes, knowing that they're not going to change their life. Hypocrites, you're just an actor. Your life is a lie. You're not fooling anyone. And so Jesus says, stop pretending. That means you need to deal with the hard work. That's the solution. So the thing is, let's keep reading. Let's keep reading because Jesus gets deeper into this. Verse 5. So first he talks about alms. Then he talks about prayer. He says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the who? The hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing where? In the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. Interesting, right? He uses the same two scenarios. In the streets and in the synagogue. What you do at church and what you do in public. Interesting. So he says this, verily I say unto you, they have their reward, but thou, when thou prayest. So here again, Jesus assumes, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee how? Openly. Then he goes into the Lord's Prayer, which we're all familiar with. Look at verse 16, just so I can finish off this section. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the what? Hypocrites, there it is again, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verse 17, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So here again, Jesus highlights the point in prayer, in fasting, in alms. You just name the action that is acceptable by God. And you have people who are doing things to be seen of men. So here you have one indictment against the hypocrite is, why is it that you're doing things to be seen of men? But the question is, you're not doing things to be seen of God, which means you're not doing it in your private life. Because God doesn't see openly, he sees in secret. God doesn't look at what you're doing in church. He looks at what you're doing in your heart. That's what he looks at. And because of this, we can do whatever we want in public. Means nothing to God. Because a Christian through and through is a Christian, as we know in education in that statement, who is true and honest in their inmost soul. Not just up front. Deep down. So when we talk about, let's be real. Let's be real.
So the call to the church, in order to be real, what am I talking about? I'm talking about authentic Christianity. I'm talking about that real Christianity, the one when nobody's looking, the willingness to pray in a group when you say, hey, now we're afternoon at potluck, all of a sudden, I don't need to bring up spiritual things. I'm talking about that spirituality that, you know, I just remembered, there's this book that's called Post Secret. You heard of this book? It's called Post Secret. It was written by a sociologist. They actually got Web Blog of the Year Award 2007. I didn't even know they gave out awards for blogs. But he got an award, Web Blog of the Year. And essentially what his project was this. He said, okay, I'm going to challenge Americans. I'm going to challenge Americans to write me a postcard. And I want you to tell me something you've never told another human being. Anonymous, just send me the postcard and then I'll publish them in a book and some of them I'll put on the website. So he started getting things from America. And it's interesting because when you read some of the things in the book, I haven't read the book, I'm not interested in people's business like that. Because some of the things you hear about in the book are disturbing. Let me just tell you. Completely changes the way I think about people when I'm riding on the subway. Because you're thinking like, I don't know if this person might have sent in something to Post Secret. You don't know. But the whole issue is this, is that what he's playing on is that we live in a society where there's certain deep, dark things. There's certain bones in the closet that I cannot expose. And it's always there in the closet. And you make sure when people walk in the room of your company, when they walk in the room of your conversation, there's just certain closets you can't open. So I'm just jumping at the opportunity to share this off my heart. It's out there. So you had a pastor's wife who wrote into Post Secret, said, my husband is a pastor of a mega church, and I'm an atheist. I don't even believe in God. Never told another human being. You had a woman who wrote in to Post Secret and said, hey, you know, I was married. I am married for 20 years. And for half of my marriage, I've been having an affair with my best friend, who is a woman. She was writing this about her husband. You turn the page, you have a husband said the same thing about his wife. I've been having an affair with my male best friend. I got a book from the 80s. It's a longitudinal study called The Day America Told the Truth. And in that book, he challenged Americans on different questions of action. And he said, okay, he did a survey. And part of the survey, he said, okay, how many of you Americans for $1 million would kidnap someone else's child? Just someone else's child for $1 million, you kidnap their child. Did you know 25% of Americans said for $1 million they'll kidnap somebody else's child? Oh, it gets better. It gets better. 17% of Americans said they would abandon their own children for $1 million. They'll just leave them. 22% of Americans said for $1 million they'll become a prostitute for 2 weeks. And they said, how many of you for $2 million would do it for longer? Same 22%. You see, I encourage you to look for the book. You can look on Amazon.com. I'm not making this up. The whole point of the book was to say, are we as moral as we like to profess ourselves to be? Deep down, when it's anonymous, and they said, you know, I remember there was a study in Christianity Today. They said, how many of you pastors, ministers have fallen into sexual temptation since you've been in ministry? 50% said yes. And then at the end of the survey, they said, how many of you have lied on the survey? 20% said yes. So you're talking 40, you're talking 50 to 60% of ministers admit to falling into sexual sin while in ministry. So you have a situation where you say, what is it that people are hiding? What if we published a book about people's secrets in this room? What would be in the book? Post Secret. But the interesting thing is there is a post secret in heaven. Everyone's things in this room are written down somewhere. And everything done in darkness will come to light. So what am I telling you today? Christ needs authentic Christians, friends. Not just Christians on Sabbath. You see, when it comes down to it, in the final conflict, in standing before God, in going to the great conflict, we got to recognize something. You can't have fake victory over sin. You got to have real victory over sin. Are you hearing me? It cannot be just in front of the church. It has to be before the eyes of God, where he says, like he said to Abraham, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. Is my fear always before your face or just at church on Sabbath? Do you recognize that I see in secret? And so this is why we have Adventist young people walking around with a sense of condemnation, constant spiritual insecurities. And Jesus says, this is the condemnation, because light has come and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone who comes to the light, what happens? Exposed. You see, friends, we all know when we're doing something wrong, we like to keep stuff to ourselves. When we're doing something wrong, we don't want to tell people where we're going when we know we're going to do something we shouldn't be doing. When you're on your way to church on Sabbath, oh, where are you going? Going to church? No problem. We'll just spew it right out. Where are you headed right now? Oh, I got to go to class, man. I'll catch you later. But when you're leaving class or you're skipping class, because, you know, people don't skip class at Loma Linda. See? Not enough people laughed on that one. But when you talk to a person after class, you say, hey, man, where are you going? Oh, yeah, I just got some things to take care of, but I'll catch up with you later. Yeah, but where are you going to go right now, man? Like, can you drop me off? No, man, you should call Sebastian, see if he could drop you off. Like, I don't know if I can make it, you know, I got some things to take care of. And then you're walking away from the conversation like, what's up with this guy? Like, why is he being all nebulous like this? It's because we all do the same thing. When I know I'm about to go eat something that the community does not support, I want to be very quiet about where I'm going. When I want to go to the movies, even though I know, hey, no one wants to talk about movies, or when I want to put on my jewelry, then I know when I can be in this group, I'll be accepted with my jewelry. So it comes down to this point where we say, I need an authentic community. But God says, no, I need an authentic Christian. We're not challenging you to boldness. We're challenging you to get a heart work done. That's what Jesus is trying to say. The question of hypocrisy is not, well, I'm just going to wear it boldly. I'm tired of hiding the fact that I'm just going to put on my jewelry. That's not Jesus's remedy. He says, go back to God in secret. Deal with your heart problems. Create in me a clean heart. Make thorough the repentance in your own life. You see, friends, as a church, we're suffering for lack of authentic community. You know what I'm talking about. Many of us, we cannot be ourselves in the church. We cannot, because everyone around is expecting me to be so holy. Because of my position, because of my role, because of things that I've done in the past, we like to be closed. And so this whole concept of, like I said earlier today, when we're talking about people, hey, I don't want people being in my business. What business you got that people can't see? Thoughts on the Mount of Blessing, page 60. Everything the Christian does should be as transparent as light. What do you have to hide if your life is being directed and guided by the Word of God? If your decisions are in Christ, if you are seeking things above, what do you have to hide? What you have to hide is your sins, your clinging. And because you know when you're exposed to the community, somebody's going to say something and stop you from indulging in your sinful habits. That's why we want to keep our business to ourselves. I'm trying to keep on to the sin that does so easily beset me. I'm trying to hang on to this lust, hang on to this indulgence. Why will you be lost? Why will you die? For the glory of men. For the glory of men. Who will one day find that the books will be opened. And they'll say, man, I can't believe this person didn't make it. You see, it pains my heart. Because when I go places, preach, I
come down off the pulpit and people tell me things they've never told anyone else where I am. And I wonder, how is it that I had to come all the way from Boston to Oklahoma, to West Virginia, to Pittsburgh, to California, wherever the case may be, and people feel like I can go to this person and be real. But then Sebastian's leaving tomorrow. Where is the community here? Who can that person go to and say, guess what, church? I'm struggling. Guess what, church? I just sinned last night. I need prayer. Nobody's real like that. Because we don't really want victory. And if we do, we got so much pride. Because you know what, friends? I'm gonna be real with you. If one of you stood up here and admitted to struggling with something, I guarantee other hands will come up. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. I've seen it time and time again. Person comes out, they're like, oh yeah, you know, I'm struggling with this. Guy sat me down. He said, Brother Sebastian, you know, I'm a leader in the church, blah, 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 but I've been struggling with masturbation for 13 years. I need help. I'm thinking, you got a 200-400 member church. Not one person? He said, there's no way I could tell them. I'm going to be judged. I'm going to be condemned. I'll be washed aside. And I have to sit down, try to counsel a young man. I got an email from a leader of a ministry. I feel like I can be honest with you. Been struggling with pornography, masturbation, blah, 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 blah. I can't even talk to you on the phone. I'm so ashamed. Don't call me. Just respond to my email, Brother Sebastian. Doing powerful things for the Lord, but has no community to go to because there is no one to be real with. So the whole thing, friends, is that we can do all the ministry, all the preaching that we want, and our own members are dying. And our own members are being strangled in sin. But Jesus says we need to be real, friends. No more hypocrisy. No more stuff to be seen of men. Let's start doing things to be seen of God. But the way that that starts is we got to be real. Thorough Christianity. Authentic. Through and through. Not just on church. Not just on Friday night. Not just at religious events. On Tuesday at noon, that person, you know, that person is deep with Jesus. They're getting into the word. They're abiding in Christ. They got power for victory. And I need to know because I got real problems. I got real struggles. And I need to know that someone in this church is getting victory like I need to. I need to know that. Because people are struggling with problems. Preaching a gospel they don't even believe because they've experienced no power. And we wonder why the church does not grow. Not experiencing any power. No power. I want to, there's more that I was going to share, but I want to say this one last thing before I make my appeal. I know that what I shared this morning at church from my own experience, I preached a sermon in, I think, Mountain View, near Mountain View Academy. And after I shared that experience that I had with my girlfriend at the time, so I came to the back of the church, an elderly man came up to me. Must have been in his 60s. So he came up to me. It's because I love you. It's because I love you. So he came up to me after the sermon. He could not look me in the eye. He said, I want to thank you for sharing what you shared. And then the tears just started coming out his eyes. He didn't have to tell me. I know why he was there. He says, some of us just need prayer. That's all he could say. Some of us just need prayer. And it was interesting because when we were in Sabbath school, he just kept harping on this point. Jesus could not sin. Jesus could not sin. Jesus could not sin. He's different than us. He's different than us. He could get victory. We can't get victory. And you're sitting there in Sabbath school like, what's up with this brother? Why is he harping on this point? Has nothing to do with the lesson. You're like, how do we have community in Christ? Jesus was different than us. It's because people are struggling. You know what I'm talking about. Those people sit in Sabbath school, they just harp on the same thing. Die to self, die to self, no matter what the lesson study is. Testing prophets, you just need to die to self. You're right, you're right. But I realized after the sermon, the reason why he kept harping on that, because in his experience, the only way he could deal with the fact that he was not getting victory was that Jesus was different. So he had to change his theology. And it's going to happen to some of you if you don't start getting victory. It's called cognitive dissonance. My experience is not in harmony with what I believe. So either I need to change my experience or I need to change my beliefs. But you know what's easier, right? Just change your beliefs. I don't believe you can get victory. We're always going to be sinning until Jesus comes. Not what my Bible says. That's not what my Bible says. Don't cheapen the gospel because you don't know how to abide in Christ. So the whole thing that I'm saying, friends, this morning is I know you all, and I included, I'm not separating myself from this. We all got struggles going on. We do. We don't like to admit it, or perhaps our storm hasn't come yet. But it will come. We'll talk about that in the next session. But your storm will come. And if it's already arrived, it's time for us to start being real. I'm challenging you as a church. You need to create authentic community. No more of this fake stuff. No more of this pretending. We need to learn how to accept people where they are. It's unfortunate I only got two amens on that. But
amen.
Thank you. But it's for real. When we go out to do ministry, I'm giving a Bible study to someone, they could be puffing away on a cigar. I won't say anything. Because I know he's growing in Christ. So when I come into church, don't let me catch that brother puffing a cigar. Yo, man, you're the first elder, man. What are you doing? And the question that should come to my mind is, do you know what it's like to struggle with sin? Then you know what's going on in his life. So the last thing he needs is a hammer to remind him of how bad his sin is. That's the last thing a person needs. The thing that a person needs to know is, where can I go for power? Show me how to get out of this situation. But you see, if people believe when I open up my heart, when I come out and say, you know what, I'm struggling with the investigative judgment. I don't understand it. I had a girl come to me. Full-time missionary. I'm not even sure about 1844. How are you a missionary? I mean, that's your initial response. But then you recognize, is she coming to me because she needs a mallet, or she's coming to me because she needs help? It's because she needs help. It's because she needs help. So this afternoon, I want to make an appeal. Because many of you, many of us, we've been struggling with something for a long time. Many of us, people don't even know who we really are. And we're afraid that if we come out and show who we really are, people won't accept us. But friends, I'm telling you, as a church, this is why people can't come in here. Because when they go out to do evangelism, I'm so welcoming. But they look at how people in the church are treated, I'll just stay out here. So soon as you get baptized, we're done. All right, you're in the church now, so moving on. I need to go minister to him. And you better be right. You know all the doctrines. You know all the teachings. What's your problem? Get yourself together. But the reality is, it's the opposite. They should be treated better when they come in the church. But see, that's not how we run things. Evangelism, evangelism, evangelism. What are you bringing them into? Come out of Babylon? Into a Babylonian environment? So you got people being treated. They're saying, oh yeah, I know this is the truth for sure. No doubt in my mind, this is the truth. No doubt in my mind, this is the truth. But I don't feel loved here. And this is my last words on this, and then I'll make my appeal. Ellen White says, the most fatal deception is the belief that we think we're going to go to heaven without having Christ-like love for the brethren. That's the most fatal deception, she says. We'll come here Sabbath after Sabbath walking by people who are hurting. Because I'm too busy ministering to people out there. She says, you'll be lost. You'll be a goat on the left side. You know why? Because when he says, the least of these, my brethren, you know that word brethren? First of the church. He's not talking about the people on the street. The Greek word is adelphos. Brethren, the church. As you did not unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it not unto me. Walk by Jesus every Sabbath, thinking that you're serving him. When did I see you hungry? Remember that sister that came to you at potluck? Right after church, saying she had nowhere to go, but you're like, she's really awkward and weird. I don't want her to come to my house, so I tried to find some way to shirk her off me. Remember that girl? That was me. That you shirked off. Remember that guy? You're saying, man, he's really awkward. He talks a lot. I don't want him to come over, you know, to hang with us. That was me. Because I was a stranger, and you left me. I was a stranger and you left me. So my appeal is twofold. My first appeal is I want to challenge us. I want to challenge us to start being real. I want to challenge us to start being real. You say, Lord, today, if people find authentic community, it's going to be with me. That's you. I want you to stand. I'm going to be the one creating authentic community. They're going to be able to find it in me. Take it seriously. Don't just stand because, hey, this is prevailing. I understand. Everyone ain't ready. I know. There's some people in here who are not ready to hear this. They're not ready to sit down and listen to someone talk about how they're struggling with either sexual immorality, tobacco, or drug abuse. They're not ready to hear that. They're not ready to hear people's self-hatred and how they cut themselves and they've attempted suicide because they were abused as a child. They're not ready to hear that. That's real, friends. That's what's happening in the church. It's happening. I was at an academy last week. Unbelievable stories. Unbelievable. Girl was 5 years old, sexually abused by five women. How are you still believing in Jesus? I don't know. It's real. And we need a church that's ready to receive the broken. Right here. We ain't got to go outside. They're right here. If we would just listen. Put the guns down. Just listen. My second appeal is this. There's people, perhaps even in this room, but maybe in this church, that you know, you just don't sit on the same side of the church. You know what I'm talking about. There's people who are in the church, but you know, we just understand. We just don't get along. And my appeal is very specific, and this is appeal for special prayer after this service, because this is a serious issue. You're not going to make it if you're harboring ill against your brother. So my appeal is this. You know there's somebody in church or in the church, as in the world church. There's a Christian, Seventh-day Adventist person in your life. Mom, dad, friend, cousin, brother, sibling, whoever. You know you have problems with them and you don't love them like you should. Well, you need to forgive them. You're going to say, Lord, I need special prayer today. I need special prayer today because inasmuch as you did it not unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it not unto me. Ellen White says the person who you love the least is equal to your love for God. Are you hearing me? Christ Object Lessons, who's my neighbor? Read it. You love the least. Who is that person? That's equal to your love for God. I don't have time to preach that sermon, but you have this sense that the Spirit is impressing my heart. I need to make this appeal. We got to start dealing with issues right here. Amen. Otherwise, people are not ready to come in. And then we're pulling people, got their ear over here. Well, you want to be careful of such and such. Mm-hmm. Then they go over here. You want to be careful of such and such. It's happened to me coming in as a believer. People pull your ear. You go in places, political issues. I'm like, what in the world? What's wrong with this person? They seem perfectly fine to me. You don't know them. And we're talking about each other. Breaking God's heart. So you know this morning, I want you to come forward. We're going to have special prayer right after this. You know you got people either in this church or in the church you got problems with. Come forward. You're saying, Lord, I need special prayer. Come. I know there's people here. So I'm just going to wait. If you're in the balcony, I'll wait for you to come downstairs. Come. You need special prayer. You're not going to make it. Now is the time. Come forward. You need to call somebody up this week, apologize, ask for forgiveness, or to forgive them. You have issues with someone. Come for special prayer. We're going to pray after this. Praise God. This is where it starts. We just need one courageous heart to start it up. Deal with the brokenness. Pastors wronged us. Someone said something to us. I was messed up as a child. I can't forgive my dad. Whatever the case may be. My mom hammered the spirit of prophecy down my throat, not trying to hear anything she says. Come forward. Come forward. My ex-boyfriend did me wrong. My ex-girlfriend did me wrong. He or she was a Seventh-day Adventist. Come forward. You need to deal with that too. So come for special prayer. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. Because if you're not going to come, you need to pray for people who need to come. People are dealing with some real problems. Here, let's come forward. Make room for people to come down the aisle. I'm going to close in a minute. Is there another? I'm going to close this thing soon. Praise God. Don't hesitate. Please. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. This is always our issue in church. Appeals are made. We're looking around. Who's coming? We need us and Jesus. You know Jesus is talking to you. You need to come down. Don't resist. Come to that person and you need to start being real so we can experience real victory and deal with real problems. Praise God. Come all the way front. You don't have to stand in the aisle. Come all the way up. These people can make it. Now, those of you who come up front, this week, we need to deal with our issues. This week, before next Sabbath. So I have prayer with you right after. Is there one more? Then I'm going to pray. It's 4 o'clock. Maybe it's hard for you to come. Raise your hand. I'll come get you. You're like, this one hurts too deep, Sebastian. I'm not getting up to comfort this. Raise your hand. I'll come get you. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know why we are all standing. We are standing, Lord, because we're tired of hiding. We're tired of being one thing here and another thing there. Lord, we're tired of trying to do things for the glory and for the eyes of men. And Lord, we want to be able to give alms and to pray and to fast and to seek spiritual things because of what's going on in our hearts. As the old Negro spiritual goes, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart. Father, I pray that prayer for every heart that's standing. And for the heart, Lord, that's struggling to stand, to be real, I pray that your spirit would continue to prick their souls and you may continue to challenge them until they find that place of authentic Christianity. There's something liberating, Lord, knowing that we have nothing to hide. Lord, lastly, I want to pray for those who have come forward for special prayer because you know more than anyone else what are the issues amongst your children. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, you challenge us, if there be any consolation, any bowels of mercy, any love, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded. Lord, I pray that this would begin a change in this church where we can put aside the wounds, Lord, where we can fulfill James 5 and say, Lord, let's confess our faults one to another that we may be healed. We need freedom from these things. We're bound, Lord, by our prejudices of one another. And we cannot experience true unity, which Jesus said, when we are one, then the world will know that the Father has sent him. Please, Lord, guide us in this experience and continue to bless us as we engage in your word this day. In Christ's name, amen.